Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy and I'm here with Casey.
Hello.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your question, your knitting question on the podcast, just email it to podcast@verypink.com and be sure to tell us where you're from. And if you'd be so kind to jump over to iTunes and rate and review the show, it helps other people find us. Did I say all the words?
I think so. What, okay. We are number 58?
We're on episode number 58. Thank you, Casey. Mm-hmm. Keeping me on track. Yeah, that's why you're here. We both have computers in front of us. You're just better at looking at yours and remembering what I'm supposed to say. We are here to magically turn knitting questions into knitting answers. But before we get started, you have an interview.
I do.
I'm pretty excited about this. You're doing a good job of just saying, well, that's interesting. I'd like to learn more about that.
Yeah.
With your little news cap on.
Yeah. And people are super friendly and interested in talking to me. So
no one's ever said that they don't want to do an interview, right?
No.
Yeah.
People are pretty excited.
Okay, so who is this with?
So this is Vanessa Hill. She has a show called Braincraft.
A YouTube channel. Right.
And it's just little nuggets of psychology. You know, she takes research from other sources and puts them into little animated shorts and kind of breaks it down to make it understandable for non-scientists. So there was one called The Unexpected Benefits of Knitting. And so,
right, you sent me the link to that.
And I had actually put it on my blog post or on my blog several months ago. And anyway, long story short, got connected with her. And so we had a little conversation about that video and the background on it.
Okay, let's listen.
My name is Vanessa Hill. I have a YouTube channel that's called Braincraft. It is about all things brainy. Sometimes I like to say it's about the science of you. So I cover like psychology and neuroscience and behavioral science, but really I just like to try and break down why we behave and act the way that we do so people can understand a little bit more about themselves.
Uh-huh. And they're in little bite-sized nuggets and with some animation to make it friendly.
Yeah. So the episodes are about, oh gosh, they used to be about 3 minutes each, but now they're about 5 or 6 minutes. They have just progressively gotten longer over time. But they are bite-sized and accessible, and sometimes I will do some stop-motion animation in them. Sometimes I'll go outside and, like, interview people. Yeah, I would say bite-sized is a good description.
Okay, good. So what's your background? Are you a psychologist or...?
I studied psychology and biology at university, and then I actually was a science teacher after that. So I was in the classroom working across all areas of science at about a middle school level for 4 years. And then I moved into a kind of media role, and I was writing and making some videos for Australia's National Science Agency. And it was kind of through that media work that I was introduced to video production. And I didn't quite like what I did in the classroom. And it was more teaching students about the world and about why things are the way that they are in the universe and about those kind of basic concepts and theories of science. But we never taught people about themselves. So I just kind of saw that as something that I was really interested in. So I started my YouTube channel in 2013 to kind of talk about the science of you.
Well, I came across your video, and it's so funny that I had met a colleague of yours along the way. So I came across your video about what knitting does to your brain. And that's something that we had explored previously with a professor here at the University of Texas. But wanted to just dig in a little bit about the studies that you mentioned and some of the things that you mentioned that we hadn't heard before. So in the video, you say that there was a study of about 350,000 people. Do you know more about this study, like who sponsored it and all that?
Yeah, it was done by Cardiff University in Wales, and it was conducted through an online survey. So it was through like internet knitting groups. So people were like self-selecting to be in the study. So the respondents were from all over the world.
Okay. So it says that part of the relaxation is breaking up the stressful thoughts that we may be having in our normal lives. Am I saying that right? It's
Yeah,
not.
I think so. I mean, what you can kind of pull out of the study and what the researchers were reporting on is that people who took this survey reported that they felt more relaxed, they reported feeling stress relief, and they felt more creative when they were knitting and after they were knitting. So I guess that like the results from the survey showed a significant relationship between knitting frequency, so how often you're knitting, and then feeling calm and happy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I found it interesting, the piece about it can change your gene expression. Is that a commonly found thing in psychology, that or research, when you do something stressful like that, it changes the way your genes are expressing?
I think it's not really a commonly found thing that we study, right? So I think that it sounds amazing when you hear something like that, you're like, wow, it changed our gene expression, et cetera, et cetera. Except I think that is probably more common in those types of activities. Like if you did meditation, if you played an instrument, right? Like if you did any of those activities that would have a similar effect in making you more calm and relieving stress, you would probably find similar outcomes. It's just that isn't kind of measured in a lot of studies that we do, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like your environment and, you know, what you're eating and the activities you're doing and all of that is interacting with your genetics all the time, right? Like it's a pretty dynamic relationship.
Yeah, and I noticed on your YouTube video underneath, a lot of people were asking if gaming has a similar effect, but I have to wonder if the texture or the sensory input we get when we knit with the fabric that we're making, is that adding a different layer that maybe a gaming would add?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of factors that go into it, and it's something that is almost a constant challenge in these research studies, is conducting it with one thing like knitting or scrapbooking or playing an instrument or something like that, and then applying it to similar activities. Like you can say that it may be similar, except you couldn't say for sure unless you actually went and kind of replicated the study with different things. I think with gaming, I mean, there have been some studies with actually watching TV or watching segments of movies where people have had different positive effects, like have felt different positive effects from that. Like when people watch comedy, clips from comedy movies or comedy televisions, they have like a boost in endorphins and they feel a bit happier. So that's something that we found in the past as well. I think that it probably would depend on the type of video game you're doing, to be honest, because if it's a strategy game, you're going to be engaging a lot of different areas of your brain and you're going to be really involved and actually like thinking about it strategically and kind of like engaging a whole bunch of different brain structures and kind of thought patterns and things like that, compared to if you're just, I don't know, doing something that is a bit more relaxing. Like knitting is quite relaxing. Like there is a process to it and you do have to problem solve from time to time, except you're not like solving a mystery or something like that. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's why things like meditation and knitting and even playing a musical instrument that you're familiar with have these results of being calming, because it's almost like you enter a flow state, like people do. And I think I mentioned that in the video as well. And it's because you're doing this repetitive activity. So you wouldn't be doing that when you're playing video games. So
right.
I'm not sure if it's so applicable to that.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. So do we have to keep trying new patterns and things like that to help our brain? Because we're getting two things there, like the relaxation of the repetitiveness, but also a challenge when we do different things and, like you said, problem solve.
Yeah, I feel like from what I have read in different studies, it is good to do activities like that that are calming when you enter a flow state and you're kind of in the zone when you're doing something. But it's also really good for your brain to try new things and to learn new skills as well. So I think like a balance between, doing those things that we're familiar with, that we're comfortable with, that we find relaxing, and keeping us challenged and learning whether it's, doing different stitches or a different kind of art and craft or a different kind of activity altogether or learning a language. Like, these things are really good for our brain as well.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. My last question is, are you a knitter?
No, I can't. I can't say that I am. I have always really wanted to be, and I have been knitting a scarf for 3 years now. And it's been, like, I have the wool, and I have some really lovely, like, really thick needles, so I can have, like, a loose stitch, and so it'll look, like, really chunky and cool. And it's, oh my gosh, it's been, like, sitting in a basket in my living room for so long now, and I always have the best intentions to finish it, but I never find the time. So that's something that I need to do.
Yeah.
But something I wanted to talk to you very quickly about, mm-hmm. something else, which is, okay, so in Sydney, they have an artist market at this place called Emily Markets on the weekend. And there's a woman who knits gloves and scarves from her Pomeranian's dog fur. And I have a labradoodle who has a wool coat, and I'm like, could I make a hat out of my labradoodle coat?
Sure. Oh, you have to
spin. Is that something that you've heard of before?
Yeah, you can Google it. There's people who make all kinds of things out of their pet, like cat fur or any kind of pet hair. You'll have to spin the fibers together.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I don't know why it grosses me out, because
it's weird, isn't it? Because we don't have a problem wearing something that comes from a sheep or an alpaca,
right,
or something like that. But all of a sudden, it's just like, golden doodle hair and possum fur and all this stuff that we find disgusting. There's some psychology in that, I'm sure.
I know. You might have to do a new video on that.
But that was something that always, like, intrigued me, that I could, my dog has so much hair.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to shave her, like, once every couple of months, especially in the summer. So I was like, gosh, is there an opportunity here?
I'm sure you could find somebody who could spin it for you.
I know. I need to find that and then finish my scarf as well.
Well, wonderful. Well, I appreciate your time and your expertise, and we'll send everybody to your video, so hopefully you'll get some bumps on your video views, and keep up the good work.
Great. Thank you so much.
Well, that was fun, Casey.
Yeah.
We will definitely send people to the video,
mm-hmm.
that started all of this. The videos are put together really cool.
Yeah. It's fun animation, and she's got, it runs by really fast, and so you kind of have to run over it a couple times.
It's interesting though.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch. This episode is sponsored by Vogue Knitting Live. The ultimate knitting event is returning to Seattle November 3rd through 5th, 2017. This one-of-a-kind knitting event brings Vogue Knitting Magazine to life with beginner to master level hand knitting classes featuring some of the biggest names in knitting, including Stephen West, Andrea Mowry, Bristol Ivy, and Andrea Rangel, and more. This Woolfield. Thank you, Casey. This Woolfield weekend will also feature high-end shopping experience, knit couture fashion shows on Saturday, a knit art gallery, and much more to inspire every knitter. That sounds really good.
I know. It sounds. They do like a thing where they throw yarn from the ceiling at you, so that sounds really fun.
What? I don't know that sounds like the highlight of it.
You can catch yarn from the sky.
Okay. Oh, I see. It's like, you get to keep the yarn if you catch it.
Yes.
It's like throwing a bouquet
t-shirt cannon at a basketball game.
I was thinking catching the bouquet at a wedding.
Yes.
Okay, let me finish this copy here. As listeners of the Very Pink Knits podcast, Vogue Knitting Live is giving you 10% off your registration of packages or classes to Vogue Knitting Live. Use code VERYPINK, one word, during checkout. Can't make it to Seattle? Vogue Knitting Live will be in New York City January 12th to 14th, 2018. Visit VogueKnittingLive.com for additional information and to sign up, and we will put that link in the show notes as well. Okay, let's get into the knitting questions.
Okay. Hello, ladies. I'm thoroughly enjoying the podcast each week and have learned a lot from the questions and answers, of course. You've answered a question from me once before, but now I have another. I have made a number of items as gifts for friends, which were made from the heart, but also from wonderful, lovely yarns and patterns. The gifts seem to be received with great appreciation, but I've never seen them worn. Have you had this happen to you? Is there a PC way to ask about the items? It's making me a bit gun shy about continuing to do this. I've posted my finished projects on Ravelry and received many compliments, so I know it's not that my work is ugly. Thanks for all you do to keep your friends warm. Virginia from Vancouver, Washington.
Hi, Virginia. This kind of question comes up all the time because it's just really common that non-knitters don't appreciate what goes into it. And we expect, well, Casey, do you know the superstition of the boyfriend sweater?
Yeah.
Okay. You know that.
Yeah.
And there, the superstition is that if you knit, okay, it's totally sexist, just get past this part. But if a woman knits a sweater for a man to whom she is not married, they will break up.
Yeah.
And there's actually like some psychology behind that because, she's putting all this effort into this thing and it's kind of symbolic. We're putting all this effort into the relationship and he can either see that and like be scared that she's kind of being clingy this way or that the sweater that she's making that is so symbolic of this relationship is not turning out to be something that he would actually ever wear.
Yeah.
Or,
like he doesn't appreciate everything she does for him.
That's the core of it. Yes. Thank you. Is that she's working so hard on this thing that's a symbol of the relationship and he's like not loving it or not. He's not just swooning over her with every stitch.
Yeah.
And it causes problems because she knows how much work she's putting in. He's not appreciating it for that. And then there's a problem. But and then it happens. It's not just superstition with the boyfriend sweater. This actually happens in real life where people knit things and, you know, I mean, worst case scenario is you go to their house and the hat you made for them is in the bottom of the closet. And
or it's a dog toy or something.
A dog that's under a pair of shoes or something.
One thing you can do is like, I gave a gift to a friend's little girl, and the kids are so hard to knit for because the sizing is so weird. But I was like, will you send me a picture of her in it?
There you go. And so for 5 minutes, she put that.
I was like, I want to just put it on my, you know, Ravelry page.
That works.
Yeah.
I think ultimately you have to let it go.
Yeah.
I mean, you make things for people if you aren't recognizing the idea that they're loving them, then you just have to let it go.
Yeah, and not make anything for them in the future.
And, yeah.
I mean, if you bought somebody a nice present, then I know people in my family who, if they don't like the present they received, they go take it back to the store. And I'm the kind of person who's like, they bought me this thing. I don't love it, but I'm going to just keep it.
It's from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So some people are just not, that's not their love language or whatever.
This is the knitting psychology hour with Stacey and Casey.
We should find the love language people and find out where knitting falls into
there
your love language.
You will never run out of interview ideas.
But I have a funny story. I made some socks for my husband and I was hand washing them. He's like, you really love me. You're washing my socks by hand. And I just looked at him.
He goes, love these socks.
You really love the socks.
You guys have been married for a long time.
Yeah, we can say like
no one's feelings were hurt.
No, we're pretty honest with each other.
That's good. But she wanted, one of the questions she has in here I thought was interesting is she wants to know if there's a polite way to ask about the items.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that the polite thing to do is to just let it go.
Yeah. Because you'd be like, hey, how do you like that hat I made you? And they're like,
I totally love it. I think if someone made something for me, knitted, whatever, I'm going to make it a point to wear that thing or to have that thing on display in my house or whatever when that person comes over. Even if I'm not loving it, I'm going to make a point to let them know that the time they put into it was appreciated. You know, I mean, even like if someone painted me something, I'd have it on the wall, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think? I mean, that's...
Yeah.
The onus is on the receiver here.
Yeah, and I would, I mean, like I, any time, it's my mom too, and I'm a knitter, and I appreciate it. But if she makes something for my kids or whatever, I'll send a picture. Oh, look, they love this thing that you made for them.
Yeah, but they really do. I mean, you really do.
And she knits,
she's a great knitter.
Crazy things on request.
Oh, she does.
Like birds and Minecraft and Pokemon characters.
She enjoys knitting. She wants to make you guys happy.
Yeah, so...
Okay. Mm. Well, I hope we helped Virginia. Only, yeah. I mean, you can knit for anybody, but when if you realize that they're not loving it, then Amazon gift cards are awesome for kids.
All right. Hey, girls, love your podcasts and videos. Please never stop. I refer people to you all the time. I used to have a top loading washing machine and now I have a front load. Can you felt in a front loader? I have a gift I need to felt and I'm afraid to experiment and possibly ruin it. I do not have a setting for knits. Thanks, mystery writer no name.
Okay, mystery writer no name. Casey, I'm going to send this back to you because of your dryer thing.
Yeah, I have a, and it's not just that it's front loading. Mine's a top loading, but it's, you know, a energy efficient, whatever they call them now. So it adjusts the water based on the weight of the clothes in the washer.
Yeah.
So every time I stop it and restart it, it like recalculates because it's thinking that I'm putting more clothes in if I stop the load.
So what's wrong with that?
Because then it runs the water through again and it kind of starts over. Anyway, it's a pain. So okay,
I just got a new washer and dryer does the same thing.
Yeah.
But it has been no issue for me to stop it and pull something out and put it back in.
Doesn't it start over? Like for mine, it starts over like
at
starts,
0 minutes?
No, but it starts, it like measures it and then may put more water in there. Oh, anyway.
Okay.
The solution I found was to...
Right. Sorry. We went way off on a tangent.
Get your item wet and put it in a pillowcase and put it in the dryer instead.
Right. This is so brilliant. Yeah. This is so brilliant. And you've done this, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And how long did it take?
I don't remember. It depends on the item, like how big it is.
I mean, did it seem like it was a lot longer than...
I feel like it was easier to tell when it was ready because it was more dry.
Yeah, it wasn't a soppy, stretchy, bright.
Yeah, because then you dry your felted thing, you lay it out to shape it and stuff like that. So you don't want it totally dry, but I don't think it took any longer.
And I suppose if it was taking a while, you can always just re-wet it and put it in the pillowcase and put it back in there.
Yeah, because the felting is the hitting it around.
Right.
Yes, I'm waking.
We both use a lot of gestures that just don't come through on the podcast. Yeah. That is so brilliant. And so I think the answer here for the no-name mystery writer is skip the front-loading washer and try it in the dryer. It's going to work.
Yeah. I mean, back in the olden days, people did it by hand.
Ugh. Hand knitting and hand felting. No, it's just the dryer seems like a really easy thing to do. I mean, I know that like it wasn't all that long ago. My mom had a clapot tee that I made for her and she had the worst news for me because she shrank the clapot tee. She said, it was a little bit wet from the snow and all I did was put it in the dryer for a few minutes. So there you go. It works like magic.
Yep.
Okay.
Hi, Stacy. I've been knitting for years now, but I've only recently gotten involved with social media. A lady in my knitting group at the library recommended your YouTube channel for knitting help, and then I found your podcast, which I love. Your YouTube channel has taught me so much, including Portuguese knitting, which I love. Did I already say that?
She says it twice. You're good. It's not you, Casey.
I wish that I had found you before my sweater disaster. I made my plucky cardigan two sizes too big, but instead of frogging it, I am giving it to my mom who fits it. My question is on my second one. This one is for me, second cardigan. This is a cabled cardi called Circadian Rhythm Mystery Sweater Knit Along. On the cabled part of the back where it divides by using stitch markers between the cable pattern and the stockinette pattern, there are stretched out stitches and ugly ladders. There aren't any on the raglan increases where stitch markers also were. Why did this happen and how can I avoid this in the future? With kindest regards, Jay from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for the note. And thinking about your question here, I think the loose stitches that you have going on there have less to do with the stitch markers and more to do with switching between knits and purls. And it's just the natural drag on the stitch from having your yarn in back to pulling it forward to work a purl stitch that can create just enough extra yarn in the stitch to make it look like there's It will be a different tension right there, and it'll show a line of looser stitches. So in the show notes, if you go to verypink.com and click the podcast tab at the top of the page and look for episode 58, in the show notes, I'll give you a link to my video on getting good tension between knit and purl stitches. It's just a little tug is really all it is to tighten up areas like that.
Yep.
Did you have any other ideas for Jay?
Nope.
Okay. All right. We should wrap this episode up. We are done.
Oh, yeah.
The interview. You forgot we had
reading along.
We could just string all the interviews, all the episodes together into one long five-hour episode or something. No, that's not what we're going to do. Casey, if someone wants to find you online, what do they do?
My website is kcknits.com, the letter K and the letter C.
And we have a link to that in the show notes as well. And if you want to find me, there is, of course, the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. There's also verypink.com. And if you scroll to the bottom of that page, you'll see all my social media buttons, including Instagram, where... It's mostly just dog pictures now. I still knit, but yeah. While the puppy is still a puppy, there's a lot of dog pictures there. Okay, that is all we have for this week. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.